Okay, be enthusiastic.
Yes.
I'm talking to myself. Distant Ireland Training Podcast, I'm Kevin Ryan, I'm your host. Thanks for listening, everyone. I am joined by my fiancée, Celine Lang. Celine, how are you today?
I'm good today. How are you, love?
Fine. Blink. What the fuck is that? Why aren't you blinking? Sorry, just... This is our third attempt at doing this. We haven't had attempts before. Now, they haven't been great. I wouldn't say the intros have been great before, but we've actually tried.
Sorry.
We've tried this time. And the first time was too low or something. The second time I wasn't enthusiastic and then suddenly got confrontational. Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Today's episode is, you know, do you want to explain what happens on this podcast?
On this podcast, you have a guest on who needs to talk about running their own country.
They don't need to. Well, I mean, they're happy coming on, but yeah, they're not reaching out to me, I'll be honest. I reach out to them saying, do you want to? And they say, sure.
They're eager to talk to you about running their own country and the different rules and things that they would have in place in their own country and how they would rule. Would they be aggressive? Or not aggressive? Would they be a tyrant or would they be a more nicer person?
Beautifully put.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, and today's guest is Stephanie Herrera, who is from Canada. She is an actor, writer. You know how the last episode we had Marianne Lindbeck, who was, an old potato. because she did lots of things.
Yes. Right?
Productive. I got another annoyingly productive person.
Yes. What?
She described herself as an entertainment specialist, which, let's be honest, is a lot more professional than...
A potato.
Yes. She's improv, comic, comedian, actor, writer, director, just everything. She's one of those annoying people who, if you go, I need someone to direct a play, she'll be like, yeah, I'll probably be able to do that. Or I need someone who's an agent, I'll be able to do that. She does everything.
Okay.
Right? So, yes, she's very good. I'm going to play you some out-of-context quotes because some of them are a bit alarming, some of the things she says. I did not quite agree with them. But, yeah, I'll play them, okay?
Yes.
We'll make you Dracula's castle.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Ooh, spooky. I have magical powers, all the money in the world. I'm so special. Like, shut up. My mom calls me shallow, and I am.
Yeah.
Sleeping pills. That's always fun. Like when I bomb, they're like, yeah.
Yes.
My perfect world is a total police state.
She's enthusiastically...
Maniacal.
Maniacal. Yeah, that's the best way to put it.
I like her stance on painkillers.
What was her
stance? Fun.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, fun. Yes, so this podcast can be found wherever. Just Google the podcast or put it up.
On all of the normal podcast places.
Yeah. Just never somewhere where they say you can find us on eBay and you're like, oh, like, so yeah. And then I'm on, type in Kev Ryan Person, and because Kevin Ryan's a very, very
formal
common name.
Sorry.
Yeah, sure. Blue Sky, Instagram, X, Twitter, Threads. I'm on.
Oh, you are.
I haven't done TikTok, but I might do that in the future.
Ooh.
I have an idea, actually, but and this podcast is on... Oh, yeah, Tyrant's podcast is on Twitter.
Instagram. Oh, Twitter.
Yeah. God, this is terrible. Okay,
sorry,
thanks.
Stop interrupting.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
See you later.
I don't need to say bye. They'll turn it off.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah,
keep listening.
Keep listening.
Keep listening. There's podcast to come.
Yeah.
I always was, I love that word bossy and tyrannical. And I love that Tina Fey, titled her book Bossy Pants.
Yeah.
I think it was Bossy. I love that because it's one of those things where strong women, I'm all for them. Not so much, I guess it's bossy. It's just, I know what I like. I one of my favorite movies probably of all time is When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
And when Sally is a very, she's high maintenance, and that I love that. I clung to it. And the way she explained it is she just likes things the way she likes them. And I'm the exact same way. So I know what I want. I know how to ask for it. That's a gift I have that somebody pointed out. We were doing some corporate sales and some, even I dabbled in multi-level marketing. No one asked me. I don't do that anymore. I enjoy more training people than I did doing the business. However, we were, I was with one of the gentlemen and I was getting a free location for this event and I'm asking, you know, and we left and he said, Stephanie, it's so amazing to watch you work. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you ask for the stars and moon And a lot of the time you get it. And then if you go a little too far, it's, Stephanie, and it gets laughed off. And it's not stressful. It's not, I'm not pushing somebody. He said, it's amazing you have that gift. And I didn't realize that that's how I went through life. I always am the proponent of ask for everything, because the worst thing I can say is no. And it's, you know, as long as you don't get your feelings hurt. I mean, that's something else that improv was so important to me, is because it's also that wonderful gift of failing, that if you have the ability to embrace the failure, to be okay with it. Stand-up comedians find this, that when they bomb on stage the first night, it's devastating. And then some of them start to get a high. Like when I bomb, they're like, let's see how far I can go. So so that kind of, that comfort level has made me a little bit stronger. I'm also one of these people that I do not do well with bullies. Ever since I was a child, my older sister was bullied. I just remember as a little kid looking up at them, like yelling, like, leave my sister alone. I was this chihuahua. Like, oh my God. Like, I was always somebody that I just wasn't afraid to ask for what I want, to really, you know, push the boundaries, push my limits, and speak out. And I'm very upfront. And that's why a lot of my close friends are guys, because I always find that that male energy of just say it to someone's face is way more powerful, and you can get things done and move forward versus talking about people behind their back. I'm like, I have no time for this, because I want to move forward.
I will say, I agree, but I will say, the bit about talking about your back, because I remember I'm all about that. No, I'm all about venting. I think venting is something that, venting is really good. In the kind of so for the next 20 minutes, you get to complain about my cat, and I get to say, I hate him. He's the worst. I'm going to get rid of him tomorrow. You're so right. And then 20 minutes later, I go cuddling Hopper.
There you go. You know what? Venting. And that's what partners are for. You know, when people are like, don't tell anyone, and you're like, okay, no problem. And then you immediately go home, you're going to tell your partner because they go, care, like, not gonna. So you need definitely somebody to you know vent.
Do you think you would? Do you think you would do well with a partner as the leader of your own country, or would you need sole rule?
That's a really good question. I think it would have to probably be, the ideal situation is sort of like in my marriage. I would be like the queen, and then it would be the queen consort.
Just lesser down, just a slight step.
Just a little bit down. Even if I did have a king and I was a queen, I think I would totally be Lady Macbeth. I would be pulling the strings. I'd be like, this is how it goes, because I can, it's just, I've always been in relationships where I'm the stronger of them, but it's more because I'm high maintenance and my husband is low maintenance. So there have only been a few things where he put his foot down and said, like, for example, when we were having our children, he said, I want them all to have my name. I kept my maiden name because his last name is Butcher. And I'm like, I do not look like a butcher. I'm an Herrera. I'm a Herrera. I can't. So, but he said, I want the kids to have my name. And I was like, okay. Like, he just doesn't ask me for things. So a few times he said, this is what I'd like, and I give it to him. Whereas I'm like, I want this and this and this, and this has to go this way and this. And like, you walk into our home and he's like, he'll pick up one thing and he's like, these are mine. Everything else is hers. Like, I don't care. Yeah. This is her thing. So I need somebody to be more of, but he's my confidant. He's my, I go to him for advice. He's also my director. So when I had improv troupes or, you know, running shows, I would give notes to the performers, because it usually was my show. And I'd usually have performers I used over and over again. I would direct them and say, you know, give them notes at the end. And then on the ride home, I'd go, okay, I'm ready for my notes. And he'd go, okay, that's the, and he was the one that paid attention and gave me. So I need somebody that will give me that.
You can, but look to,
that can give me some guidance, but I still have to be that queen and then the queen's consort.
I thought you were going to say that he would turn around to you and say, look, I need all our children to be boys. And be like, I don't think you can, I think you're unreasonable there.
Buddy. Yeah, we did. But you know what? We had two boys and two girls. So I say to people, we did that on purpose. So they couldn't say they wanted one of something else.
That's fair enough. But that's why we have two boy and girl cats. To be completely even. By the way, you mentioned you'd be queen. So what would your official title be? Would you go with Queen Stephanie?
Queen Stephanie. I didn't even think of a title. No.
Would you go royalty? No.
I almost wanted to say goddess, but that's too much, because then I don't want to get into the worshiping stuff. Stop it. That'll make my head.
Yeah, but you could be a bashful goddess.
I think ruler I think just the ruler. It's because I love that term president. I like, you know, the or leader. I like leader, ruler kind of thing.
So you just want the ruler?
No, maybe leader. Our fearless leader. I love that term.
So it would just be fearless leader. That would be your official title. And then when people speak about you, they'd say our fearless leader.
Yes, exactly. And if I'm being a chicken about something and I'm like, oh, I'm not sure if I can do this. Did you think they'll be like, well, fearless leader. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right.
Oh, I better keep up. Yeah.
So
okay.
It's something that I can attain. I can strive for as well.
Now, just checking, what if someone is not calling you fearless leader? So I don't know, if you meet people and they're just saying, hey, old Steffi, anything happening to him? Are we reprimanding
him? I think there probably would be. If I don't know them, then there might be some kind of reprimand for sure. If it's friends, because I mean, instantly I have that sort of that personality that as soon as someone meets me, they're like, this is Stephanie. And we talk for a bit. They're like, okay, Steph, like immediately I get shortened. So I don't have too much of a problem. But if it's somebody that I haven't met.
Just one of the peasants, the citizens.
Exactly. I might be like, maybe you should rethink that term because I can be a pretty strong, hard ass in the sense that
if you're going to be fearless leader.
Exactly. Fearless and feared. Ooh, fearless and feared. No, I don't want to be feared. I want to, but in terms of there is fear in that word, guys, that I can be pretty hard ass in the sense that a lot of times people think that because I am a creative and I'm a writer actor, that I'm automatically a liberal person, that I am all that. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know, guys, because my perfect world, and this kind of ties into your question, my perfect world is a total police state. My husband's like, what are you talking? I'm like, no, imagine if we're like cameras everywhere, you know, with a crime happen and they're like, does anyone have any camera footage? Anyone? I'm like, oh, in my world, there'd be cameras everywhere. It would be like the Truman Show. Like they would have a headquarters and everyone's being watched. And my husband's like, you're insane. And I'm like, you know what? If you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to fear.
Are you being watched? So do you have cameras all on you, or are we just like blurring you out?
Think everybody, like when I walk out and if I get hit by a car, they're going to know from all angles who that person is. Like, I want everybody. Now inside your house, I think there can be obviously, because again, we talked about, you should be able to vent. What you say in your home is perfectly, you know, legit. But once people step outside,
cameras everywhere.
Cameras everywhere. I love this concept of respect. I love it in that sort of Japanese culture of respect. Like you're going to line up to get on the bus. You're not going to shove. You're going to not litter on the street because somebody else, you know, this is other people's place. Like I love that term of respect that I think if people are being watched, they're going to be a little bit smarter about what they do. And I love that term. I love that character that was on Parks and Rec. It was, oh God, well, I've just forgotten his name too. I don't know.
It wasn't John Ralphio, was it?
No, it was Fred Armiston, played the president, I guess the president or delegate of Venezuela. And he had this whole thing about, he was so shocked at how things were run in America. He had this term that he said, if you do this, you would go to jail. And if you do this, surprisingly, jail, right to jail, go to jail. And I laugh and go, that's what my country would be like. If you start calling me Steph, or I don't really like her, or I ain't gonna do that, to jail. Like
you're into jail.
If you're rude, to jail. There would be you could get a ticket for being stupid, to jail. Yes. Like you can get like written up. So I would be very, very cautious because there's so many people out there that are just not considerate of other people, like the people that speed and cut you off. I always say to my kids, oh dear, that person's the most important person in the world. Like that kind of tunnel vision of, I'm more important than anyone. No, to jail.
So what if, so they're going to jail. Like how long are they going to jail for if they call you Steph?
Okay, well, I don't know about the Steph thing. They'll get warning. They'll get a ticket.
But if they keep doing it like 3 or 5 times now in a day.
I think, you know what, it would be, and my jails would probably be more rehabilitation. Like they would have to take manners classes. They would have to, clean the streets and stuff. I love that. The chain gangs.
Bring back the chain gangs.
Make these people, because again, a lot of times people are bored just around in a cell. What are you going to do? Do something contributive to society. There would be classes that are involved in getting you in a frame of mind of others, consider other people.
So it's less jail, it's community service.
Rehabilitation. Community service, rehabilitation. Yeah, you'd have to do a major crime. And I don't think, yeah, then, you know, hey, I'll bring the death penalty back if people start killing other people. Like, okay. I do not like that kind of stuff. Yeah. I'm so not liberal. It's so sad. Well, liberal in a lot of ways. I love the arts. I know the importance of it, but I don't think people should, and I hear this a lot, that artists complain when grants start getting cut. Yeah. And my poor husband, who works hard in a, you know, hands, he's like a man's man. He's got to work with his hands. He could die at work kind of thing. He's like, my taxpayer dollars are for people who like really, really want to put a play on. Like really?
Like there's a scale of importance in the world. Like that's cool.
But that he's got to pay for them because they want to be on stage or they want to, you know, but he's just like, oh, and I said, no, I feel for you in that sense. And I think it's just, again, goes back to respect. And I think one of the things I always said all my life was, I think that in my world, everyone has to, for a year, they have to ride a bike. They have to ride a bicycle.
For a full year. Do they get to go off
for a full year? No, they can't. But at some point, like they have to put in miles. Like maybe they'll have you have to be able to ride a bike and you have to get around riding a bike in the city. You have to then do a year of driving. Cause some people are like, I don't like cars. You have to drive and you have to be a waiter or waitress in a restaurant. So if everybody had to do those things, they would be, when they drive, they would be more cautious of bikes because they've been in that position where they, you know, it's dangerous, vice versa. And also waiting on table, like something about waiting on tables and serving people and having that experience makes you way more considerate when you're out and people are serving.
Yeah,
you.
I get that. Yes.
And it's also like, it drives me crazy that every time somebody gets up from the dinner table and they're not taking things with them or when they come back, like to me, I'm like, what are you doing? They didn't waiter ever. My kids and my husband never were. I'm like, hey, take the empty dishes.
Yeah. Just as you're going. Yeah. And if you think about it, a couple of generations into this ruling this island, like you're going to have people more considered just by kind of like by default. You won't even need half those cameras, or you can leave them there but switch them off. They won't even realize. And then they're just going to naturally, you might, if you need to save a bit of money, you know, coming up to Christmas.
Absolutely. But, or we can make it more of an entertainment factor and go straight Truman Show where you can see clips of the funny things that happen, because people do this too. Like I remember there were two women, somebody said, I got permission, I found the women in the neighborhood, they slipped on some mud or something right in front of her driveway, and her home camera caught it, and the women fell, and the other woman tried to help and she fell, and the two women were on the ground just howling with laughter, and you can't do anything but laugh. She said, I found them, I asked permission, I put this up, this just made my, like, it was so funny. And we just, and I'm like, yeah, why not? Why not have funny things that happen that people can watch?
But anyway, if you're the fearless leader, what we do is we create an island for you. We don't, like, you don't take over a part of Canada or anything. We don't condone that yet on this podcast until we get 10,000 listeners. But we're going to make you an island. So where would you place your island in the world? And I'll even be helpful because I can go and share.
Oh, yeah, please. Get a map. The thing is, I love having seasons because it sounds beautiful to have an island. But for me, I love being able to get. So it's got to be somewhere that maybe there's mountains or something that you can go and experience snow. That's what I loved about the whole thing with Australia is you can be on a beach, you can be in the desert, you can be in the snow, like a snowy mountain. So it's got to be something. So where would an island be that
would you be more into warm or cold weather in general? I know you kind of like the difference, but
I think warm, but with that option, you can get somewhere that has some cold. Where would that be in the world? Carmen, San Diego, where in the world would that be?
Would you want around the Atlantic then? Like around the East Coast?
I guess so.
Yeah, I can't really think of
maybe the West Coast would be like on the other side.
Like by Seattle, Oregon
kind of thing. Yeah, because then you could probably, because you can get some seasons still. Well, I guess on either side, but
kind of that line anyway, right? Because even if you went completely the opposite direction over by Japan, that has mountains of snow and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you could go around there. So would you go, you think around West Coast?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
For me, it's just a different experience because because I'm in the East Coast, and when I go to the West in Canada, I can't believe that's Canada. It's the mountain ranges.
So different.
There's seals, there's starfish. Like it's a completely different ocean. Like I'm just like, is Canada, because I'm also kind of landlocked. I mean, Ontario is right smack in the middle. We're on a lake.
Yeah.
I'm a lake girl. So to me, to be on oceans, I'm always blown away.
Not literally blown away. You can stand. You're fine. Like, it's not. Okay. So if we put the island on the West Coast, what would you name your island? Would you go with your own name?
Oh, probably. Yeah, like Steftopia or something. Steftopia. Cute like that.
You wouldn't go with Herrera, no?
No, I think, because that's,
Herrera.
That's my colonized name is Herrera. I'll go with
What could we make out of Steph, Stephanie? God, I'm trying to see if I can pun any other country name, but I don't think Steph kind of lends itself to it, does it? No. So will you just go with Steftopia?
Yeah, maybe Steftopia.
Yeah.
Shangri Steph.
Shangri Steph. Oh, yes.
I actually kind of like Shangri-Lala. That's kind of fun because I'm a big Christmas music person that, to the detriment of my teenagers, well, most of them, they hate Christmas music. And that's all I play for the entire month of December. It's always Christmas music in my car. So, and I love music and I love musicals. And so, Shangri-Lala might be fun.
Shangri-Lala,
because people could break out into song anytime they want.
That'd be a good national anthem as well, I imagine. A boppy national anthem.
A fun one.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's sort of like, and I also grew up in the era of Fame. Did you get that TV show Fame? It was about the musical arts school. So there's this one famous scene when they start singing in the school and then they burst out the school doors and they're on New York, traffic and they're dancing on cars. And I'm like, that's my life. I love musical, like having those opportunities that if you're so in love with someone or you're so frustrated, and that's the beautiful power of musicals is you are having such an intense emotion, you can't do anything else but sing. And I love that concept of musicals. So if you are so angry at someone or so in love with somebody or so in great mood, you're like, this is the best day. And the music comes out of the speakers.
Would you put speakers around the island, right?
Sure. Because if you've got cameras, then somebody can go, hey, we can see that. Think again. Right. Oh, sorry.
Yes, I love that.
So why not blare some music and everyone can kind of like stop what they're doing? They can join in. I mean, I had a musical improv troupe and a lot of people are familiar with it. There's no, they just start singing. The words will come. Just figure it out. People will back you up and you get a little time to sing. And if you're too in a hurry, you can just go, oh, there goes another one, and you go on with your day. Or if you're like, I'll join in.
Yeah, you'll catch the next one anyway. They're probably happening every day or two anyway.
Yeah,
right.
Somebody will sing about
Shangri-Lala already sounding fun, but I'll just clarify that the behavior of those Fame actors where they jump out of the school and they jump up on all the cars singing, that's not allowed on Shangri-Lala, right? You can't just jump up on cars singing.
Well, there is
traffic's
that still the police day. Exactly.
Yeah.
If you're stopping traffic, no, absolutely. To jail.
No. To jail.
You have to be courteous. You still have to have the respect and courteousness of the people around you. But there's nothing
if it's a red light, you can jump up on the car. If it's a green light.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. It's like the, what's that? The traffic light musicals, those little short ones that, what's his name does?
Oh God, Jeremy.
Yeah,
Jeremy?
Karaoke.
James Corbin.
Yes.
Yes. I was gonna say Jeremy Corbin. I think he's an English politician.
James Corbin.
James. Well, you might know him better than I, but I call him.
No,
James.
I know.
Yeah, You call him Jim. I call him James.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you want to dance across the street, you got to wait till the red light.
Till the red, then jump up in people's cars. There's a lot of dents in the cars. There's one notice feature I noticed about Shangri-La.
That's true.
Wait a minute, my questions are all gone. On your island, it's already very musical heavy. Does the fearless leader allow? I'll give you two options here. It's a bit instead of complete like improv on it, but you're not going to really want to maybe run all the more boring aspects of the everyday life of running a government, so you have to have people around you. So, would you prefer to have like an inner council of maybe 10 people and that's your job to run everything? Or would you rather let the citizens, we'll say 10 million citizens, would you let them elect a Senate of 100 senators and they have some form of being able to vote then. But you have ultimate say over everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've got veto power for sure. I think what I'd like to do is one of the things that my husband actually brought up, and I was like, oh yeah, you're right. He said things like presidents, elected officials, they usually get, you know, a 4-year term and then they have to move on. And only ones that don't are Senate people, like that's, the people that really make the decisions. And so that's why we have like 90-year-old white guys running the country and they have no idea what they're doing. That I would be like, well, that's not going to happen in mine, that you have to retire, but then bring back that sort of indigenous elder. You know, we have our elders, so they're the mentors,
right?
The people you can confide and get advice, that they're sort of that side. Like, I'm like, if I have a problem or there's a problem, well, go talk to the elders. And if you start talking, they're like, well, this is what I would suggest, and you listen to them. And if they ever say anything like, but the Negroes are suspicious, you're like, shut up.
You're done.
If they start getting, in my day, women in their place, like, no, okay, we're done. But they do have wisdom. They have life experience. So why not use them to their best ability, which is just advice? And then you can take it or leave it. So I love going to the elders and hearing their wisdom, but not putting them in power. So I think, and I love that other term. Somebody said once, there was a meme that they would love to see that instead of the Hollywood actors becoming these like Uber, like the Marvel heroes, that it's just a lottery and somebody could text in, oh, I can't come to work today, I have to be Spider-Man. I love that.
It's like jury duty.
Yeah.
They have to
So I think running the country, I would love to see a balance of elected, but also the people that really make decisions, it's a lottery. Like one day you're just like, oh, I gotta, you know, for the next year, I can't start out the city's
plumbing
or whatever, or it's you have to come up. Like if you're probably the best, I mean, even accountant, let's say like your numbers are great, you're really good at it, you've proven yourself, then you might be called up to the government or government body to say, you know what? We're having trouble with our budgets, like it's not working.
You're doing this for a year.
You come and help us fix this. And people would but I love that lottery, that it's sort of that, because that's what exactly you said, jury duty is. It's random people from the community that make a decision of a person's, you know, from this whole legal battle, like or a lawsuit of some sort. That's a lot of responsibility. So why not have people have to come up and say, oh, well, I can't be sitting home watching television on unemployment this week. I got to go run the country. Sorry.
Do you think then as well, if you have someone who's sitting there, so Mary is sitting at home and she's like, I'll get a job next month. It's fine. I have loads of money left in my account. And then they get a letter saying you have to be a minister of the justice system. And then for the next year, like if she at the end of the year goes, all right, listen, I did not know that, you know, mass murder was an actual crime ever else in the world. That was a new one. I'm sorry I let them all out of jail. Can she be punished for letting everyone out? Like, at the end of the year, can it be like, you screwed up? You're in trouble.
Yes, absolutely. Because it is a police state still. So right to jail. I truly believe that people do have to be accountable for their decisions. Like, we're having a lot of issues with governments in power here that take millions and millions and billions of dollars, taxpayer dollars, to do things like create a nuclear power plant that never gets made, and all that money is gone. Yeah. And I'm like, wait, don't they have to pay that back? And my husband's like, no, nobody has to. Like, all of these politicians can just steal money and never have to pay it back. So I think that having that over your head, like, make decisions, but make smart ones, because if you waste a lot of money or pay off your family and friends or do any of that, you got to pay it back.
that's fair enough. These prisons are going to get very big.
Very full.
But that's fine. We have the room. What house are you going to live in? What type of house do you want built on the island? Like, are you going to live in the city, or are you going to live outside in the mountain area or the
shore? I love those kind of like castles that are on hills that have like that one direct road down into the city, if I want to. But
so Dracula's castle.
I would love to have a grandiose, beautiful, I want something really, really nice and pretty with turrets and
like kind of medieval thing. But a bit modern, like you can have Wi-Fi.
That's well heated. Yeah, that's well insulated.
Yeah.
But it's also something that it would be also part of the public, where if somebody's getting married, well, it's obviously going to be at the castle because it's the most beautiful place. So it would be open though for tours and for celebrations, because I don't want parades and crap blocking up traffic. So they would come to the grounds of the path. That's where your parades are. That's where your demonstrations are. That's where, you know, and people could campaign. Instead of a lottery, do the old style, like the old British style of the people that would go down to the town square with their apple boxes and they'd stand on it and they'd start shouting stuff. And if you get enough of a crowd, your ideas are going to go somewhere. And I love that. So come out to the garden, like every month, people will come and go, I think these are our problems. And people will negotiate.
They do that, I think, still in Hyde Park in London. They have Poets Corner. Oh, that's it.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah,
I'm jealous.
I think it's a Poets Corner. I think they'll stand up and they'll say, like, here's my poem, and off they'll recite it, you know? So you want this sort of building. Something like that.
Perfect. That would be beautiful. But I want elevators and insulation. Yeah. And
that's Dracula's castle. That's perfect. We'll make you Dracula's castle.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Ooh, spooky.
There you go. Okay, do you want a throne room? Or do you want to do normal office?
Oh, for people to, like, a visitation room? I don't think I need that.
You don't want a throne or anything kind of too fancy?
No, I don't think so. I want to be able to kind of walk amongst the people.
Yeah.
I shouldn't need a bulletproof car, because if my citizens are respectful and having a good time, I won't need it. But I'd love to be able to go out and just hang out. Like, cameras everywhere. We don't need paparazzi. We don't need to be followed.
That's true. You've ruined a paparazzi business.
Everybody can see it. Everybody. Yeah. If everyone's just acting normal, then, you know, there's no reason why I can't. And also, people that do things like, you know, the city planners and the people that decide which light gets the advanced green and all that stuff, they specifically have to take the public transit for a year. Like, anybody who's going to be working,
good idea.
Have to be the ones that are driving cars that are not in rush hour. Like, everybody who's in charge of anything have to be working directly from that. You can't get an outside source to come in going, hey, guess what? You're going to manage, you know, the food right now. And like, but I don't know anything. Like, no, you're going to get one of your workers who's been in it, or, you know, a mom feeding a family of six.
Yeah.
She's in charge now.
You mentioned there about you driving around. You don't need a bulletproof car, because, I mean, I never said your citizens were unhappy with you. So, yeah, no, absolutely. Would they be in trouble if they jumped up on your car and started dancing when it was stopped?
Well, they go straight to jail, because that would stop the car.
Okay, jail is the answer. Yes, perfect.
And they're dancing on the side of the street, and then you're like, oh, that's great. Maybe I'll come in for a verse.
From the largest jails and the largest spontaneous musical numbers in the world, what unusual list would your country be top of?
I think our education would be completely turned on its head. I would have all children would have to take improv classes. Everyone has to take improv classes. That's a must.
Okay.
That increases confidence, creativity, trusting instincts. They all have to take, like we mentioned, manners classes, home ec. All kids should know how to cook and sew and do their laundry and clean a home. Trades. I think that some kids just don't do well with computers or math or whatever, that they gravitate. I always loved stories like Brave New World and things like that. I'm so twisted in that, where you're literally, if people are good at something, that's what they do. So if you've got a kid that doodles all the time and draws and has no interest in math, that's fine. Then support them.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Yeah. Go do what you love, because you're going to do it well.
Are you removing any classes just because you're adding a lot there? You know, as I said, improv and everything else. Are you removing any kind of standard classes? Are we getting rid of geography? You should know. You should pick that up as you're doing the other stuff. Or
The standard stuff. Yeah, I think everybody should learn how to write an essay properly.
There you go. Yes. I mean, yeah.
Should be able to speak eloquently.
And math.
But I guess basic math is always smart. I would bring back times tables. I don't know about in Ireland, but they got rid of kids memorizing the times tables. They don't do that anymore. So yeah, totally. Why? Got rid of it. They, because they've new math, whatever that is, which is so confusing. Yeah, and calculators, but they're teaching them this new math that is so convoluted when you could just go, what's 5 times 6? Like, the kids don't know that. They took away cursive. And I think if we're really going to, I also, my mom is in that generation. She had to learn Latin. And I went, wow, that's kind of weird. But now I'm like, God, I wish I learned Latin. Why not bring back the dead language? Because it's the basis of all these languages, right? So she gets upset when someone says they're uninterested when it's actually disinterested. Because she's like, well, because the Latin root is this. And I'm like, bring back cursive, bring back Latin, bring back, so that way you'll be able to pick up. But again, if a kid is suffering, and they're like, I can't get through French or Spanish or Latin.
Find you something. Yeah.
Fine. That's fine. You tried. Just try. Yeah. Maybe that's my motto. Just try.
Just try. Kids should try is the motto of Shangri-La. That's it.
Shangri-La.
I remember doing something. I'm going to actually propose this because it's one thing that I remember in school is that obviously I speak English. I can speak very little Irish. But when we learned Irish in school, like we would start off in whatever class learning Irish.
Do you call it Irish though? Isn't it?
Yeah. Gaeilge, Irish.
Okay.
But I suppose when we started off learning that, it was like, it wasn't here is some basic words and then basic phrases and everything else. It was just here is a poem by an Irish writer in Gaeilge or Irish. So we would just like learn the lines of the poem. But you wouldn't know what any of it means. You'd just be reciting, like you might as well just be going blah 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 blah. Like, it means nothing. And that was you learning Irish. And you're like, but that's, what's the good, like, what's the point of me taking up German and just reciting a German poem when I have no idea what any of it means? So that's one thing I'd say. If you're going to do like languages like Latin, no point just reciting, you know, one of the Roman emperor's books when it's written in Latin, when you're like, I don't know what this guy's talking about.
Yeah, it's got to be conversational.
Yeah.
We briefly spoke at the beginning about, before we started this, about immigration, and I'm all for immigration, but I think communication is so crucial that if you're coming to my country, the first language, because it's my first language, is English. Like everybody has to. So if you come in, you have to know English.
Yeah.
And, but if you come with another language, that probably would, that most likely might be a language that other people speak, because we're open to learning languages and having. So it's not about, because with French, I used to be able to write in French. I couldn't speak any because I had to, because it's not a phonetic language. So I'm like, this is useless. I could write out to people, but I couldn't speak to them.
Yeah.
So absolutely, like you said, it's got to be conversational. It's got to be something that is fun to learn, like getting the best teachers that are entertaining. Because and the dead languages too. I mean, I guess French. I mean, a lot of countries speak French.
Your schools are going to be about 16 hours long though.
Oh, no. Well, you know what? And I have no trouble having school throughout the school year. If you have shorter school schedules and just do it through the school year and make sure that schools are air conditioned in the summer, that drives me crazy that they don't have the kids comfortable. And I love how, was it Iceland or Norway or Sweden? Mm. Like all those schools have this approach where the kids, you know, learn, but most of the time they're outside. They're outside playing. Learning, they're exploring, they're, you know, I'd like to learn about this. Okay. And they teach them.
And
And also the health benefits that a lot of those, when they do things like they sit in saunas every day, recess, sauna, roll in the snow, back inside. And that, you know, those kind of health benefits have been proven to lengthen your life, to help your health. That I'm more about, I love the concept of free healthcare. It's not free. We pay for it with our taxes. I love that concept, but I think we can be better at giving families, like, you know, instead of putting fluoride and chlorine in our water, why aren't we putting in vitamin D? Like so many, and making sure that fruits and vegetables are cheaper than a box of macaroni and cheese. Like there should be ways to make sure our population is healthier for longer than...
Because that's going to put down costs in other areas, as you said, like in health. If you have a population that's generally better, in better health, then your health system should be spending less money to react to things. Okay, sounds good. I mean, as I said, free healthcare, and I guess it's like free education. As I said, you still pay for it, but through taxes as opposed to private schools. Or would you go with private schools as well?
I think everybody should have that option. That's one thing that Canada is struggling right now, because we do have this universal healthcare already. And now people are saying, well, you know, people with money, maybe they should be able to get private care and have, you know, doctors available to them on call and whatever. Mm. And everyone's like, But if we do that, then all it's going to shift. And I'm just like, you know what? If people have money and they can afford a doctor, a private doctor, go for it. Like, I don't think that should be. There should be private clinics. I think so, that you don't have to wait in line for 4 hours in a room with people coughing and hacking and you just need a prescription filled. Like, there should be a way to have privatized and universal at the same time.
This is completely off topic, but I was going to ask, do you have a favorite movie franchise?
Oh gosh. No, I don't think I do.
What was the last one you might have seen?
Of a franchise? I mean, we gave up on Marvel a couple of years ago. that was a big family trip, was going to Marvel movies. But now they're so terrible and they're so CGI that I'm like, I don't even like these anymore.
What was your favorite one of that? Were you like,
I mean, Iron Man was great. I enjoyed every single new Spider-Man, the new ones.
Tom Holland.
Number two. Yeah, Tom Holland and Garfield. And I love Tobey Maguire. Like, everybody who does one. I'm like, I love it. But then they start getting into two and three and I'm like, they've lost it. And it's all CGI. I mean, I liked Harry Potter up till he became a teenager and then he was a whiny teenage boy. I have magical powers, all the money in the world. I'm so special. I'm like, shut up. You're a teenage boy. Stop complaining. First world problems. So I always get to a point in a franchise where I'm like, I'm kind of done.
Okay. I was just wondering, I have bad news for you though. We can say one of those older wise people come to you and say, look, there's a scandal about to come out about you. People aren't going to be happy. Right now, the approval rating is 94%, but it's actually going to go down once this scandal hits. It's going to reach 74. So it's quite bad. There's a bit of a drop. People don't want to like get rid of you, but they're just very disappointed. For some reason, I don't know how this works, this question, but you get to pick what scandal it is. So what scandal do you think would come out about you? This is Light Entertainment Podcast, by the way, so... let's keep that in mind. Don't admit to a murder.
Okay, don't know. Yeah.
Although I'm in Ireland, so I guess I wouldn't be, because we're in different jurisdictions. I wouldn't. Hey, if you can admit to it all you want.
I think. Oh gosh, what's a good scandal?
Do you think it involved money?
Probably. Knowing me, it probably involved money. I don't think I would steal money, but I would. Oh, maybe I would make a weird deal. With like, cause I'm really into, my mom calls me shallow and I am, but beauty products, like I would do something like, cause apparently in Europe you have the most advanced things where you can actually build collagen. Like you've got, whether it's supplements or things you can put on your skin that is not approved by Health Canada. So I would probably bring in things that are not cleared by, like I would, if I can get stem, like infant stem cell, the fetal stem cells, I'll do it. I'll put it in my face, like whatever. So the scandal would be, she's trying to stay young forever. And she did this thing. She imported some things that haven't been cleared first before anybody else. Maybe that's my scandal of I'm not as young and youthful. I'm doing things.
Just the blood of Arctic Circle seals and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'm in a lab. Like I'm getting into chambers that no one breathing things in. I'm a human guinea pig. I will do what I can to live the longest and be the youngest and youthful as I possibly
this
can.
This is turning into Dracula's castle. Yeah. No. Okay.
That works. Okay. That works.
It ties in. Okay. So
I want to be immortal.
You want to be immortal. Okay, so Immortal Gate is the scandal. And you're...
Speaking of favorite movies, one of my all-time favorite ever since I was a kid was The Dark Crystal. The Skeksis. So I would be like a Skeksis draining the life essence of my podlings.
I thought you were going to say Death Becomes Her. Wasn't that the same
type
of thing?
Oh, no, that'd be great too. Yes. I wouldn't make a deal with the devil. I don't want to owe anybody anything, but I will go to great lengths. Like the stuff that I come home with, I've burnt my flesh. I do the microneedling where they take my blood and spin it and put it back on my face while they're cutting up my face. Like I do, I come home and I'm all swollen and red. My husband's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm beautiful.
Kiss me.
I'll do it.
So your advisors say, our fearless leader. I mean, you have to be fearless to do that. We think you should go on, you know, like Frost versus Nixon. We think you need to do that to explain, because your approval rating's gone down 20%. This is bad. And 84% of people say not really beautiful at the last one. But Yeah, we think you should do that. So do you mind going on stage with Anderson, is the newscaster, the journalist?
Let's do it.
You would do it. Okay. Yeah. Coming back from a break, Anderson would be like, our fearless leader, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Absolutely.
You can hear me. Oh, yes, you can hear me. Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. I'm here because I would love to clear things up and and support my people.
Okay, perfect. And I'm glad to see your face is cleared up as well from the last injections. That's fantastic. I do have to get on. We were talking about your economy and the last musical dance numbers there have been brilliant. I have to ask about Immortal Gate. People want to ask why.
I think it's because life is to be lived and I want to live it as long as I can. And why not live it looking good? Because if I look good, you all feel great about seeing my face. I can be an inspiration. It's really, if you flip it, it's all about you guys. Why not? I'll take the reins, I'll experiment, and then open it up to other people and then say, and give you my advice, because I should be the one that gives advice and feedback about things that I'm going to share. I'm eventually going to share it all. Just
so you'll share the secrets once you have the formula done for the immortality.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not people in jail, though.
No. And a lot of people are in jail. We have not polled them. But we do have footage here of you taking part in one of the many musicals. And it does look like your face actually slips off. You have to put it back on. We can see you here picking her up off of an Audi TT.
Yes. Well, that was a new product that I was using, a new kind of treatment.
Yes.
It didn't go well. But again, that is just showing you folks that I'll go to lengths to try things. If they fail, let it be on me. Let me have these moments, pay for my flights out to other countries to do this. Because once I've got it down pat as a science and an art, I'm going to share it to you. We don't want everyone's faces. We're going to slip on them if everyone's face drops off.
Yes.
This is your chance to let me just continue what I'm doing, believe and trust that I know what I'm doing. And then when I perfected it, it's going to get released and that's not going to happen again.
So you're going to promise immortality to people.
I don't know if I can promise, but I'm going to promise I'm going to work my hardest to reach immortality.
So you're going to work yourself to death to get immortality. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, work myself to death to not die. Yes.
And you're going to put this country in debt as well to reach.
I don't know if it's so much in debt, because eventually that could be potentially one of our greatest exports. If we master this, then other countries and other leaders are going to come to us going, how did you do that? And then that will be our main export is youth, fountain of life right here. People will come here and we could be a destination place for the very wealthy to get better and younger and healthier.
Okay. So that's very exciting. I mean, you're not promising wink wink or fearless leader, but you percentage chance of you becoming immortal out of 100?
Out of 100? Let's say 20%.
Oh God. Okay.
But I think it's worth it. 20%?
At a chance of living forever. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Will you be experimenting on other people? As in, will you be draining the blood of other people in your castle?
Not at this time.
Can we expect it in the next 6 months?
Immortality?
I mean, siphoning off the blood of peasants in your country.
Oh, not at all. No. I think that if that happened, it would be desperate measures. And I feel very confident in what I'm doing is on the right track right now. So I can't ever. And it would infringe on our beliefs here in Shangri-La of respect. And, you know, in the old wise words of the Wiccan people, do what you will, harm no one. And so that's not on my prerogative right
until
now.
You're desperate. No plans in place yet. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. And I look forward to seeing our desperate, fearless leader. Okay. Yeah. We're going to go to break. That's fantastic. By the way, just going to add there, when they come back from break while they're on break, they would say to you, first of all, we're very well done. You handled the situation well, and you promised in quotes immortality, because that's all people heard. Immortality would be for the people, but they would make a documentary about you. And I'll be honest, it's a bit of propaganda. Would you want to give them a fantastical fact about you that they can mention in your documentary? We can make this up. You know, you can do whatever you want.
How about I?
We probably
that, and I've already passed. So what? I've already passed. So this is something that fantastical they've made up about me.
Yeah.
In the interview, or have I already?
Oh no, we're gonna put this. No, we're gonna put this in a documentary we're making now, so we can.
So I'm done. So I've died. I've whatever. Am I still living?
No, you're still living. Yes, God, you're still living. Still living. No. Yeah.
It's something fantastical. I can read minds.
Telekinesis. Is it telekinesis or telepathic?
Telekinesis. No, telepathic. Telekinesis is you move things. So telepathic. I have a good, so I can read people. So they got to be careful what they think about me.
Right. So not only now are cameras everywhere, now you can just sense what's in your mind. So thought crime is a crime. Thought crime is a crime. Perfect. Sure. Perfect.
Yeah. It's not even a crime, but just be careful what you're thinking.
Yeah. The Fearless Leader X. I'm trying to work it into Professor X. Yeah. Not quite working, but yeah, Fearless Love Leader it. X. Okay, cool. Yeah. No, I like that. That is quite cool. By the way, I do have good news to show you. But first question is, or the question before that rather is there any seemingly mundane thing that would be banned in your country? Something that's probably legal elsewhere, but you're like, no, not having it. Pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, I guess just, something that kind of bothers me about people is just, I don't want to say lazy, but it's just that whole concept of just existing for the sake of existing. I want purpose. I want people to really enjoy life and purpose. So the whole thing of just, I don't feel like it. I just want that gone in life. I get sitting on the couch and watching TV and eating a bag of chips. I get that. But again, it's doing something. It's that's more resting up or taking some time for yourself, whatever. But just having, something tangible. Maybe something tangible would be better. I don't like anchovies and pineapple on pizza. I get rid of that. I don't know. No, my kids would kill me. My girls love pineapple and pizza. Just something. Oh God, what could
I? You know what's interesting about stuff like that? When you say, "Oh, I would ban that." No way, my girls would hate that. I mean, they would be the children of the fearless leader. Even if they did it, who's arresting them?
That would be the next scandal, wouldn't it? That they get pineapple and pizza. That's a really good question. If I could get rid of one mundane thing. I think time. Can I get rid of time?
The magazine.
You know when you have to get... No, not the magazine. Just concept of like time. You know when you're... I guess we kind of need it because we have to have meetings and stuff. But this whole concept of the work week. You know, it's you get 2 days off, 5-day work week, 9 to 5. I don't like that. I like the concept of just having your schedule.
And just having it done.
Yeah, if you want to work a 20-hour day and get everything done, go for it. But this whole thing of like, we have to start work, particularly in wintertime when you have to get up and it's dark and you go to bed and it's dark, I don't like that. You know, get up when the sun is up. I like the old day when we lived in caves and the sun came up and then we'd get up and we'd do things. And then wintertime, we just got fat and slept a lot. Like, I like that.
That was a simpler time.
Yeah, just letting your body dictate if you can get up.
Yeah, so you could make that a thing. You could say businesses can't tell you it's a 40-hour work week. They can tell you we have 40 things to do. Go do them at the end of the week. And then you just do them. There's no...
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think isn't there a country that's bringing in a 3-day weekend? Like, I think
I have a feeling, there is something like that. I'm going to say it's Scandinavia.
I'm like, I love that.
I bet you it's in Scandinavia. Because
So again, they're so ahead,
right?
So just that, just have a 4-day work week, and then that, because usually your first day off is when you get all your shit done, where you have to do your laundry and your house cleaning and your appointments, and like you get too much on your first day off, that by the time you get your second day, you're exhausted, and then you're
just thinking about.
So I like that 3-day that one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I got to go back to work tomorrow. No, give them 3 days. I like that concept of if I could take anything mundane away, it's just this having to work within a parameter. And then maybe we get rid of rush hour. If everyone's not going home at the same time, maybe we won't have rush hour.
You won't you're not wasting an extra 2 hours just to get home. Okay, good, good answer. I'm with you. You started off with the whole pineapple thing and I was like, oh, it's a bit low key. I mean, you can change anything, but that's good. Marvel actually have gotten onto your office. They have a request. They're actually thinking of bringing back Robert Downey Jr. for another Iron Man. They wanted to film a little scene in Shangri-La, and they were hoping whether the fearless leader would like to do a cameo in the next Iron Man. Would you be interested?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, do you think you would be, would it be a cameo of you yourself, the fearless leader, or would you play a role? I mean, they're pretty open to whatever you want.
I would love to play a role, and I'm very a proponent of utilizing what the UK has embraced, women over 50 in lead roles and doing like cool things. The closest we got was Mayor of Easttown with a Brit, I might add. That there's a fear of using older women and things. So I would love to have a role in it, but and my request would be, can I kick butt? Can I be a woman in her 50s that just beats the crap out of somebody?
So do you want, or to, like, do you want to be a superhero, or would you rather be a supervillain?
I think superhero.
Yeah.
Superhero. I would like to kick some butt and be shockingly good at it. I mean, I just having a cool role model of a woman who's older who can still do some stuff, do some damage.
Do you know what? Do you know what? Now we, I mean, what age is Robert Downey Jr. now? He's in his 50s as well.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Do you want to be the love interest of Robert Downey Jr.?
Sure.
The superhero. Why not?
Why not? Why not but that's a great also concept of having two people around the same age as love.
Madness,
interest
isn't it? Let's try something
the older,
different.
The older guy and the young chick. Yeah. I'm so done with that. That's what I actually appreciated with Maverick, the new movie, where his love interest was not a young hot thing. It was the girl in his house, and she was the appropriate age.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is wonderful. So
this shouldn't be weird. This should be a normal thing. It should be weird when it's the other way around. But no, we can go for that. I'm going to do a scene. So Iron Man, of course, is naturally fighting. God, I can't even think of a villain. Who's the villain in Marvel? Thanos is back. Why not? And Tony, I'm going to do my best Tony Stark impression, which, I mean, of course, in this, he's asking Robert Downey Jr. has insisted on doing an Irish accent from Tipperary.
Of course.
Naturally. So he is walking. Where'd be a good place to film on Shangri-La? What location do you think could be very picturesque?
Probably, in the heart of the city, and Thanos is coming to potentially take over. And
well, he's just warning me. I think he's warned. I'm after receiving a letter. You see, in my
I see. Then that Ferrari. Castle. I mean, it's got the best. It's got the best views. So
yes, I'm at my summer retreat. Yes, so I mean, once I'm after dispatching one of the little villains that he sends along, not little, not in the height, but I mean, in stature within the organization, I'm sure he has. Yeah, he opens the door thinking, you know, oh, there's another one behind it. And there he sees you. Now, are you wearing a super suit or superhero suit or?
No, I'm like in like casual clothes. Just got back from the grocery store. Just an average mom. That's what the superhero is all about. She's just a normal woman.
Oh, so an open door. Hi, hello, who are you? It looks like,
Hey, you know what? You might not remember me. I was here last week at your big soiree, and I noticed you had a few items that weren't available. So I just picked some things up at the store. Would love to come in. I'm Diane Rich. I'm Diane Rich. I was a neighbor of yours back in, you know, years ago. Just got invited to your birthday party that happened last week. You just didn't have enough things in here to make people come. Your towels were scratchy, so I got you some towels. Some air fresheners. You didn't have enough of those in your room. So
what are you trying to say about the air fresheners? I'm sorry.
I'm saying that you just need a woman's touch in this place. Sorry. So I'm here to help out.
Okay, I'll lead you into you can step over the dead body. Sorry, that's an alien.
You know what? You really should clean that up. That can
I just murdered the alien. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
Literally, well, do you need some 5 seconds.
Do you need some help here? It kind of seems like you got a little out of hand here.
We can dump it in the ditch. Yeah, will you help me dump the alien in the ditch?
There's
a ditch outside.
You have a ready ditch for just random bodies.
No, but it's a ditch that I'm going to now use. As a burial site for the alien, put it?
I mean, it's an alien. I would totally take it to the science lab and start dissecting this thing. I mean, if there's one, there might be more. We could find out its weakness.
I've seen many of these before. They were in New York years ago. I don't know if you noticed that part, but, you know, continuously, No, they've already done that. They're not going to be interested. They're like, we have many of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess put it, but you're not concerned about contamination of the soil or anything? You're just going to stick it in your garden and...
No, do you know what? Surprising, I've done this before. Surprisingly, a lot of tulips come up.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's great. So they're great. Fodder for flowers and whatnot.
Amazingly, this is so. Yeah. Do you want a leg? You can cut off a leg if you have any bit. You put it in a pot.
You know what? I just might. And you know what? I also noticed you were a little shy on takeout containers. I got all that food. I don't know what you did with it. So I brought some more. So I've got some big ones. I'll take a hand or a leg and put it in my garden. I've got.
Why would I have takeout containers? I never know. I eat on plates.
But you have those big buffets. Are you just throwing it out? That's
no. I hire a company.
But what are they doing with the food after? So
they take it away with them.
But what are they doing with it?
I couldn't care less. As long as they're out the door, I'm fine, you know?
Well, that's what I think you should. You should have little takeout containers that everyone grab one on the way out. People can enjoy this food later, heat it up later once they get out of their gowns and suits.
Wait, this isn't some sex orgy. Why are they getting out of their gowns and suits? This is quite a weird meat cute. He doesn't say that, but I think the director off screen is saying it. Okay, do you have a hacksaw? I can get a hacksaw. Or do you have anything? I know, you know, I'm taking off my suit now and I don't want to put it back on. Do you, I don't know how I'm going to cut this leg out. I'm trying to throw in that you're a superhero.
You know what? I'll just rip them apart. I'm extremely strong.
Hey, I'm a fan of strong women. Oh my God. Why?
There you go. It's all in neat, even pieces in the Tupperware containers I brought. See?
She's how big are these Tupperware containers? Like, that guy was 7'8".
Yeah, well, you had huge like meals at these buffets. Buffalo. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think it would cut, and the next scene would be like later on the night where you're like eating a romantic dinner out of takeaway containers. That's when you really start to bond, you know? Yeah. Okay, very good. Very good. I could do a whole movie out of that, but there's a storm in Ireland, so the internet might go. I do have another bit of good news for you. Your finance guy, Paul, runs in and he says, Fearless Leader, I have good news. We have a lot of money in the country. Just after checking the books, we're 100 million in surplus. The people who are very happy with you, they actually sang a song out in the street saying they would love to build you a statue. If you'd be okay with that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Can it be something functional, though?
But that's like a statue? Yeah. What type would you want?
Well, it's got to be something that people can sit in. So maybe like a statue, but I'm also like an amusement park ride or a carousel or something, like something that people can sit in and enjoy.
So what?
Be like, wee.
So it's a full size statue of you, about 30 but or 40 it's like, feet.
Yeah. Give me like a Kalima multiple hands or something. And I can be like they can sit in me and have fun.
So the hands move around like the whole way. It's slow. It's like a Ferris wheel. It's slow. It's not. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That could be fun. It could be a fun, maybe speed it up if you want to, like in the evenings when the teenagers want to ride it, they can speed it up. And when the little kids can ride, anybody can ride it.
So
slower.
What are you made out of?
Oh, it's got to be a metal. It's got to be some kind of gear, metal transformer kind of.
So you have a transformer face sort of thing.
Well, the body maybe of a transformer. It would be my face. It would be my likeness.
Yeah, but it would be made out of metal.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Parts.
Yeah.
Ears and really.
People
like
are going to be confused. They're going to be like, is that what she meant by being immortal? She is now a transformer. Like, do you think people will think that?
I would hope that they would see it and think she's always giving back to this community. See, we get to have fun with her. She's an amusement park ride. It's not just a useless statue that we can look at.
No, it sounds fun. It sounds a good idea. Do you think it'll be the size of like the Statue of Liberty? Like it's a big statue.
Oh, not that big. I don't think that big. Half no, that's
size,
just
something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we definitely put a lot of money into that. That'll go well. And you can do a whole park around it and build up around. Yeah. I do have bad news actually. So your chief of police has let you know that they've actually stopped a coup attempt.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you know those wise old men? I think you said they were all 90-year-old and white. They planned a coup, but they're very slow. They have bad joints. Now, we have them all in jail. They're all locked up and everything else. But what do you want to do with them? Because they really plan to get rid of her. So,
well, you know what? I do have a little bit of, I mean, we have elders, so I have some respect for the elders. And I'm extremely concerned about what people think of me because I'm an actor and we're always obsessed with that. So I think I would want to have a sit down with them and really find out what they're unhappy about, and what they'd want. Because sometimes, like we said, you got to air your grievances. If they're not happy,
right?
What is that? Is it something I'm doing? Do they have suggestions that were overlooked? Let's hear them out. Because
sure,
sometimes,
I can do that. I'm happy to talk to you.
Oh, wonderful. So what's the problem? Why do you want to kill me? I mean, that's pretty extreme.
I love death.
Oh, you love death?
Yeah. Big fan of death. Need more of us.
You know what, though? Then that's true. I mean, I've basically made everyone immortal. Maybe it's your time. Maybe death would be a good thing for you. Like, maybe we'll take
you're
you off.
You're trying to kill me. No, I mean death for others.
Well, if you love death, if you want, well, then there's something wrong with you.
Well, there's something wrong with you. You want to kill me. Help, she's trying to kill me.
Well, you said you love death. Then we'll surround you in death. You know what we'll do? We'll give you a live wake. We're gonna pretend you're dead. We're gonna put you in a casket, and you're gonna listen to what everybody has to say at your casket. You just lie there and really experience what people have to say about you.
It'll I'm not gonna be shackled into it. No.
No. You know what we can do? We can make a prosthetic, like a fake of your body, and everyone thinks. And then you can really hear what people think of you.
And where am I?
You're gonna be in the back, and you're gonna be listening in.
Back in a coffin.
Not in the coffin. No, we'll have a fake you. We'll have a fake body.
I'm in the back room.
That's right. You'll be in the back room. You get to listen to all your loved ones. If you have any, maybe you don't. Maybe, no. But then you're really going to hear what people think of you. And once you hear if people don't like you or love you and are surprised of things, it might just awaken you to realize your impact in this world.
But they were quite neutral. They were quite neutral about it. So I want to see what happens when they love someone. So I'm trying to kill you. Is that all right? Yay.
That's that. I think you're mentally ill. I will have to put you down. Like any.
Oh, so just straight murder. Dog.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're just gonna have to put you down.
How are we doing that? How's the capital punishment? Is it firing range or is it like tomahawk range or?
My gosh! Or like a lethal injection? Yeah. Sleeping pills. That's always fun.
Are they the most boring ways to do it?
Well, if they want to kill me, I don't know. Maybe we'll do like a Hunger Games style thing where they get like...
With 50, 90-year-old white elders.
You guys want to kill each other, go ahead.
Well, you might as well make this a little reality show then, yeah?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, what would you call the Hunger Games reality show with all 90-year-olds?
Reality show of old men killing each other would be Seniors Gone Wild.
Seniors Gone Wild? Oh, God, that's... Yeah. What was it called years and years ago? There was something gone wild. It was like MTV.
Girls Gone Wild.
Girls Gone Wild. Seniors Gone.
Girls Flashing. Seniors Gone Wild.
The police chief just lets you know that you've got rid of the problem, but there are a lot of very confused 101-year-old women who, horny 101-year-old women who are ringing up saying, this isn't the show I thought it was. So yeah, you just a bit of my, like your approval rating has gone down a little bit because of that. But you got rid of the coup plotters. There is a knock on your door.
Yes.
By the way, Paul is just saying, hello, sorry to interrupt you. I know you're very busy. Hi, fearless leader.
Yes. Paul, how can I help you?
Sorry, yes. I am just going on holidays. I am going to Bermuda for 4 months. Thanks. I needed that break. Just let you know, I thought there was 100 billion in the old account there for the country. It turns out there was a minus sign ahead of it. I didn't notice that. So turns out that we didn't ever had money. It was minus 100 billion. You're in debt. The International Monetary Fund is going to come in and take over the country if you can't figure out how to make more money. Bye, I'm on holiday. Look. So he's gone. Any idea?
Of making money really, really fast.
Just give them an idea how you're going to make money. Yeah.
I guess we are now a movie studio, everybody. Just going to bring in every production company. We've got the best tax credits. We're going to just be
green light everything.
We're just going to come in. Everyone's house is now a hotel, an Airbnb. You're going to be putting crew up. And we're ready to go. We're going to make every scene, everything's just going to, we're going to work as best as we can doing what we do on a normal basis. But otherwise, everything's a movie set. Everything is available for this movie crew.
You probably did well with Robert Downey because you worked alongside him. He has a production company, right? Get him in straight away. First day. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now it's just like, the next another Lord of the Rings, bring it in.
Oh God, don't do that. There's enough of them already. God, you could do a lot of reality TV shows as well, because aren't they like cheaply made and then they can okay, fair enough. I do have one last question for you.
Okay, for sure.
At a certain point you have to consider who is going to take over from you. The immortality, unfortunately, will not pan out.
Yes.
And even if it does, maybe you're sick of controlling this country, right? I would like to know who would your heir be. And I just like to say that it has to be someone who is alive now. It can't be hypothetical my great-great-grandson, you know. But yeah, who would you have as your heir?
Well, right now, my oldest, who's having a snack over there, she is, and I think it should be female. I think it should always be female. I think my eldest daughter, she is my oldest anyway, but I think it would be my eldest daughter. If she does not want to, then I think I would have a contest. Maybe we'll go back to the reality show. All the women of the world who want to be a leader of a country get to compete and have fun with me, and I get to just put them on tasks, ridiculous tasks, and get to know them.
Can you give me one task? I'd just like to know.
It's like the fun, stressful situations where they have a shopping list and a certain set of money, and they have to, the first one in, sort of like the old apprentice days when Donald Trump was just ridiculous and not president of the United States, but just kind of like these funny, imaginative, creative tasks where you have 2 days to come up with this great campaign, and you've got to buy everything and cast it and do this great thing, and you have 24 hours, and they got to come up with something, and I get to judge their creativity and also watch how they work with people, how they delegate, how they spend money, how smart they are about it, and if they can keep everyone laughing and entertained and in a good spirit. So at the end, she was a good leader.
She's now the charismatic leader. Because I think you want to keep the fearless one, right? The fearless moniker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's either your eldest daughter, you have a second daughter, right?
I have a youngest.
But she's not getting a choice. It's the eldest daughter or else everyone else in the world.
Yeah, well, I guess I could ask my youngest. I don't think she would do it. My older one would be like, sure, because she was the oldest, so she's run households. And I would ask, but she probably, you know what though? I think that would be if my youngest said yes, she is a bit of a tyrant. So really? I think they would be in for a hurting, because she'll be like,
she's going to really use those prisons that you've set up for all the people you're putting in for minor infractions. Yeah. Yes, okay.
This little kid has a list of people that she hopes dies. She literally has a list of people, and she doesn't even remember what they did. She has a kill list, and watches crime stories. So she's a little twisted.
Make sure she doesn't send that accidentally to Santa. That's the wrong list. That doesn't go down.
You want
well.
A dictator? Take on my youngest. She's there for you.
That's a spoiler for the next episode. Who's the guest?
Absolutely.
Okay, yes, so you're going to possibly your eldest, or it could be someone like Melania Trump if she wins. Okay, cool. Yes, Shangri-La is in capable hands of the fearless leader, Stephanie Herrera. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Where can people find you, by the way, online?
On Instagram, that's kind of my favorite, because I put most of my stuff up. Instagram is at comedian Stephanie Herrera. I'm the first one that pops up when you start typing in comedian Stephanie. And I would love to keep in touch with people, follow it. I will have more information about our pilot we just shot and where people can view my funny writing, directing, acting, and my foray. I can't even speak anymore.
4 a.m.
Foray. No time. We've eliminated no time.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yes.
My producing skills as we leap into a whole new TV series that we'd love to create. So we'd love people to follow us there.
Right. Thank you. I never have an outro for this. So do you have any advice for people if you're leaving your country of Shangri-La? What would be the final advice you give to someone? It might be helpful for the listeners here.
Find a purpose, because if you have goals, that's cool. But once you've reached your goals, then you always go, now what? So really focus on yourself, find your purpose, and just find ways to laugh. Like, this too shall pass is a big thing, and life is too short. So just enjoy it.
Should have said that at the start of this podcast. You should try and laugh. Try and laugh, all right? That'll be helpful for this. Okay, thank you, Stephanie. And thank you everyone else who's listened. And I'm on Blue Sky. I don't know if I'm on Twitter anymore. Were you ever on Twitter? I don't know.
It's there, but
Threads and Instagram is the same. And I presume we'll be back next week. Bye, everyone.